You're listening to the Podcast Detroit Network. Visit www.podcastdetroit.com for more information.
Creativity Wasted is a podcast where three or four comedians or creative people each share creative ideas, such as a movie idea or an app idea or futuristic tech idea. The idea can be funny or serious, well thought out or improvised, realistic or ridiculous. But we'll always have fun talking and joking about it. My name's Ron Rigby. I'm comedian Ron Rigby. Next to me is...
Say your name.
Oh, I'm Andre Bellis.
Okay, Brian. Say your name, Brian. Hello.
Sorry about that. My name is Brian Harrison.
I'm your host, Tom Walma. This is Creativity Wasted. Okay, Andre, go ahead with your idea.
Okay, sure.
Yeah, just jump right into it. We can stop and ask questions and crack jokes. And
okay.
Okay, sure. So I got a couple I came in with. So one's a product and one's like a game idea, like a crazy sci-fi futurology type of game idea. So I'll let you guys decide which one I start with. You guys
want to do that?
The game idea? Okay. So so a little bit about me. So I'm a game developer. I love games. I play games. That's pretty much all I do. So I think a lot about games, and usually when I'm in the context of like something else, I kind of think about, oh, well, how can games kind of get into this context? And lately I've been watching a lot of sci-fi movies and futurology type of stuff, and that's where this idea came from. So the idea behind this is, so you know, like there's games like World of Warcraft and like these big like MMO type games where they really like they suck in your life, and there's people that play a good, you know, 40 hours a week plus where they turn it into their full-time jobs, right? So the idea is to make the game actually be your job, right? So you make a game. So there's a lot of AI and things going on right now where you can do some really interesting things with it, right? So let's say that you have a job stocking shelves at a grocery store, right? Well, why not make it a headset you put on and you sit at home and you control a robot that puts things onto shelves, right?
A real robot in real life.
Yeah, there's a real robot in real life that you're controlling, but you're playing a game.
You know what else it could be, Andre, is like the from Avatar where the guy gets into that role and when he moves his arm, the big thing moves his arm. So you could have that in the store and mm-hmm. you're hooked up and when you move, it's actually moving.
Right.
You know what I mean? Type of thing. Is that what you were thinking?
Or? Yeah, kind of like that. Yeah. So I'm kind of picturing someone like – so I don't know if you guys have read that book, Ready Player One. I think there's mm-hmm. a movie coming out next year. But there is a – so basically you like strap yourself into like this like this harness and like you know, headset and everything else and like a bodysuit where they like you can feel things touching you. So you're basically going to be strapped in and it's like you're going to be like – it's like you're almost there, but you're not. You're just sitting there or standing there in your living room playing a game.
Would you have like a virtual headset on type of thing?
Oh, yeah.
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 Is that supposed to be fun, stocking shelves?
No. See, that's the thing. You make it fun. Because instead of stocking shelves with like rice and beans and things like that, you make it more interesting. Like, oh, maybe you're picking up these little creatures and putting them on the shelves, right? Because it can be whatever you want it to be.
Severed heads of your enemies.
Sure. Yeah.
I don't know. Maybe like a Tetris type game where you've got to put it on the right shelf.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
That might work as an actual game. Otherwise, it's just... Some jobs might be able to make a game out of them.
Let's say, how about if you're a landscaper and you're cutting grass? You've got control of a lawnmower. It's in front of a house. It's an automatic lawnmower that you're controlling, mm-hmm. and you could turn that into a game. You know, instead of you being there and cutting the lawn, you're controlling it, and that could be a game where you're doing something else, but actually in reality, a lawn is getting cut. Right? Is that kind of what you're talking about?
Yeah,
maybe, like,
oh yeah.
Maybe one aspect of it?
Yeah, exactly like that. Because like, you know, if when you get into like really into those games, I mean, a lot of your time is actually spent doing things that are very repetitive tasks, right?
Sure,
so I kind of thought you can kind of train people to get into it by saying, okay, well, this time you're only going to put one thing on a shelf, right? And that's like one thing that you do. But if you gamify it properly, you could actually probably get people to actually like think that they're having fun by doing it, which is what I feel like a lot of the games actually are nowadays where people aren't really having fun, but they think they're having fun.
Right.
You know, it's kind of like this diversion.
Well, I think if you were actually in war, an actual war, it wouldn't be any fun.
Right.
But on a video game,
yeah.
it's tons of fun.
Yeah.
So that's the kind of, I think what you're talking about, you can make anything something that is as horrible as war actually into a fun game, which they already do a lot of. So mm-hmm. I don't see why you couldn't make stocking shelves a blast, you know, if it turned that into a game somehow, or cutting lawn or whatever, or garbage man or whatever. You reach out, you grab a bucket, you throw it in the back of the truck, you know, type of thing.
Maybe it's not fun in and of itself, but like you said, it's the task that you have to do to get mm-hmm. points. Like it,
yeah.
This is how you regain health or mm-hmm. get right. money to buy the weapon in the game.
And it'd be great, too, yeah. if there was a little problem you had to solve, you know, like you got to a certain point and you, just like in games where you would, you know, you've reached that point. Now you get to go to the next level, maybe, you know, something like that. You'd have to have an incentive, right? I mean, to be faster or better mm-hmm. than the next guy. Maybe you'd get a raise if you cut more lawns than the next guy or something.
Yeah, it could be something, too, where, I mean, I kind of see getting to the point where if that became like a big thing, you could have people like where that's their actual job and they're like their rent's getting paid by them doing this. So if you get them like really into it, it's like they think they're having fun and they're getting their rent paid at the same time.
So it's kind of like they had that CAPTCHA thing where they wanted to have a CAPTCHA, like people, they think they're using CAPTCHA just for entering a password, but it's like helping them decipher ancient texts or whatever.
Yeah.
Oh, I see what you mean.
So they're taking a task that you sort of have to do anyway and making it useful in the real world.
Somewhere else, yeah. Somewhere right. else. Different application, yeah. It's a good
yeah.
idea.
Are you allowed to scare children with the grocery stacking robot?
I don't see why not. I mean, I think that's all the fun.
That might be the funnest part.
The more children you could scare, the more points you would get in that game, I would think.
Or, you have a multiplier.
Children and old people, they're all fair game.
Since
I fall into that category.
There's certain people you might not be able to scare. Like they might drop their baby if you scare them.
Yeah.
Do you get a penalty in the game if you accidentally cause a baby to die in real life?
Yeah, it could be like one of those things like, you know, like when you're going and learning how to shoot a gun, you have like the targets you fire at and the ones you don't fire at. It could be the same thing but with scaring people. Like, okay, you can scare these, but if you scare that one, you're going to lose points. And that's not good.
Yeah.
I like it.
Any other tasks that you think would be good for it other than stocking shelves and mowing the lawn?
Yeah. So what if you went really meta and your job was to play a game where you're controlling a computer that's playing a game and like competing in like esports, but not directly because that wouldn't be, you know, everyone already does that. So this time you're going to control a computer that does it or a robot.
So you're like two steps away?
Yeah.
So you're like playing a game that's where you're like Mark Cuban. You're like the owner of the team.
Yeah.
But you don't play the game. You just negotiate contracts.
Yeah.
I might actually enjoy that.
Yeah. It's kind of like the whole like the meta level, right? Where it's like you get to see things that are going on around what you're actually trying to do. And see things from like a bigger picture.
That might be a great tool, like for training management people or something like that, you know? That people that are going to obviously be leading other people, and you could, you know, get them into that first and show them how what the impact of their decisions are in the company when they start making these decisions and stuff like that. Maybe kill a couple kids. I don't know, Tom. What do you think?
Is all of this just because you're too lazy to get up off the couch?
Yeah, I mean, that's really the whole idea there, right? It's like this way you never have to actually leave.
That's what everything's going to.
Yeah.
Don't you think you're just promoting agoraphobia?
Maybe a little bit. I don't know if that's a bad thing, though. I mean, that's kind of...
Well, the thing, too, is if you have agoraphobia, you probably don't have a job. So at least it'll at least give you an opportunity to do something productive.
Right.
Yeah, I wonder how that would manifest if they would be afraid to play the game. Or if because it's sort of anonymizing, like the people in the real grocery store don't see you, maybe you're not afraid to do that.
Yeah. It could be a good test to find out, you know, so put someone with agoraphobia in that situation and see if they maybe act normal.
Wow.
You know, put them into I used to have panic attacks when I was about your guys' age, maybe that was about 27, and I couldn't go into like a stadium, you know, with a ton of people anywhere that I couldn't get out of, like, instantly, I couldn't walk into, you know. So you could take a person like that and have them walking through a huge concert arena with a million people or something and just see how they felt about it, you know, even though knowing that they're not really there, but still in their mind, they're kind of there. So maybe that might help them to actually get over the fear.
Yeah, kind of like conditioning them to start accepting that that's okay and they're safe.
Yeah.
Are you there, Brian? Any thoughts?
Yeah, yeah. Actually, it's kind of neat. One of the things that I have available at my work is it's something that new they just started doing, but it's like this, it's almost like an iPad, and it's connected to like a Segway, and it's meant for like, say I'm working from home today and there's a meeting going on, but I want to be present in the meeting. So what I would do is I would log into this iPad thing and it would pop up my webcam, and then I would put the location that I want it to go to, and it would drive its way to the location, like say the meeting room. And then I would be on the iPad screen in front of everybody, like I was actually at the meeting, even though I'm not there.
Do you remember Sheldon Cooper doing that on Big Bang Theory?
Do you work in a hospital?
What was that?
What industry are you in? Is it hospital or university?
I am actually also a video game designer. So it was cool. I've never met Andre.
Cool.
That is cool, yeah.
I just assume that hospitals are like one of the only companies rich enough to afford this type of frivolous technology.
Oh, no. We work in training technology. So a lot of the stuff that he's talking about doing, like gamifying a process, is a lot of what I do for daily life, pretty much. Is I find ways to create what these people are going to be doing in their day-to-day life in a way that's going to be fun and entertaining, because in 2017, it's not good enough to just sit there with a PowerPoint and listen to someone talk anymore.
Very cool.
So you're just silently judging Andre's idea, and you're thinking, like, amateur, this is my
profession. No. I was listening to it. It's really cool because, like I said, that's kind of like what I apply, but almost in like a day-to-day life thing would be awesome.
Yeah, I like the segue idea. You could do a lot with that. Has anyone, like, been frightened by that yet?
Not that I'm aware of. It's, like I said, it's new. We've only had it for, I think, less than a week. 2 weeks maybe, so it hasn't been used a whole lot yet. I think they're still in the testing phases.
Cool. Yeah, I can already think of some things you could do with that that just be a little bit too funny.
Yeah.
anything else with your idea?
Nope, I think that's about it for the game idea.
That's all we have time for. I try to stretch one idea out the whole time.
Okay, sure.
Person.
Well, that's good.
You ready, Ron?
Yeah. My ideas aren't as good as Andre's. His is very good. My topic will probably not last as long. But I really just – I watched a new show last night, and you guys may have watched it as well. One of my favorite writer-directors, Seth MacFarlane, has a show out called The Orville. I don't know if you guys watched it or not.
I tried to watch it, but I don't have cable, and I could not find it on Hulu or anything yet.
That sucks, yeah. It was basically – I don't want to – wreck it for you or anything, but it reminded me of the original Star Trek series. If they had the technology that we have now, you know, because it was a little more, obviously more advanced. The monsters were a little more, you know, real looking, and not monsters, but aliens, you know, and stuff like that. But it was very similar to Leonard Nimoy and William Shatner's original Star Trek, but funny because it's Seth MacFarlane, you know, so that's really cool. And the technology, the cinematography and everything is way cooler, and the ship and all that stuff. And I think it's got a lot of potential. You didn't see it, Andre. You didn't see it as well. Had you seen any of the previews to it or anything like that? Even
no, I hadn't even heard about it.
Yeah, it was. If you like Seth MacFarlane, and the thing with me is, I've never even watched his cartoon show, whatever it's called,
Family Guy.
Yeah, I've never watched Family Guy. But I've watched his movies, like A Million Ways to Die in the West was a really good one. And Ted's, those are, I think, are pretty funny, are pretty good movies. Not the biggest Mark Wahlberg fan, but I still like the concept of the Ted movies. And I've seen McFarlane interviewed a couple times, and he's just like, I don't know, he's like a genius, you know, as far as doing voices and writing and all the stuff that he does. I mean, it's, he's one of those guys that comes along. Usually they're not in comedy, though. They're usually in, like, more dramatics, you know, they're making drama movies, but he does comedy. But he's so good. He, you know, he does on the show, the cartoon show, I think he does like 11 characters or 9 characters on that show, different voices. And the particular interview I saw with him, he was on a panel with Tom Cruise, Charlize Theron, who was in his Million Ways to Die in the West, and then Emily Blunt. And it was a European talk show, and they were promoting their movie and stuff. Yeah, I'm hearing that. But he just, they would just say, you know, would you do some voices for us? So he just started going off, and they had a hard time staying on their seats. They were laughing so hard. He's just a funny, talented guy. So I have a lot of hope for this series. Hopefully it'll be, you know, it'll be worth continuing watching. The first show was good, and we'll see. A lot of people showed up in the series that I've seen in tons of other series that have, like, the sergeant from Castle was on there. I don't know if you remember the show Castle with the guy from Firefly.
Nathan Fillion,
you know, yeah. And every other main character in the show I had seen, like, in another sitcom or, you know, something around. So he picked up a lot of people that have been working for a long time. But I guess it's kind of difficult for me to use as a topic if no one else has seen it, though. So maybe it wasn't the greatest idea today. But
wait, what was the idea?
No, it wasn't an idea. It was just I was going to see what other, you know, other people thought about it or if anyone else saw it.
Oh, or, your idea, you know, is just to rate.
Yeah, yeah, pretty much. I just thought it would be a topic to talk about, but didn't really think that no one else would have watched it. I probably should have thought of that.
Is there anything that you didn't like about it that you would change?
It's something that happens in a lot of shows, sci-fi shows. Like, to me, like, at one point their ship that they're on gets attacked by an alien ship and half the ship gets blown off, you know what I mean? So I'm thinking, why isn't this thing, like, just spiraling? But no, they keep it didn't really harm the ship at all. And then two scenes later, when the battle's over and they take the ship back, now it's all fixed and perfect and ready again. That kind of stuff is the kind of stuff that I look at when I'm watching shows sometimes, because I think when it happens, I'm thinking, how are they going to fix this ship? This is total. This thing, they'll never. And then two scenes later, it's perfectly back together and running again. Little things like that. But that's just stuff that I look for. But as far as the script and the writing and the actors, I thought they were all pretty good. And it can go in a lot of really, you know, cool directions. Because they basically, he's kind of a little bit of a screw up. And they ended up giving him, he's a captain, and they give him his own ship for the first time ever. And he's got to pick his crew. And almost like the Starship Enterprise, you know, and he sits on his chair, you know, in front of the what do they call it when they would go to the deck or whatever it was, you know, where they'd sit and you could watch, you know, and the drivers, the guys that drive the ship, are up there, and he's just the captain, so he sits back in his swivel chair, you know, barking orders just like William Shatner did on Star Trek. So it's almost a parody, I think, you know, like a. I don't think that's how they, you know, or what they're calling it.
Yeah, I heard some reviews about it that people didn't know how to take it, because it seemed, they said it was earnest, like it wasn't a parody at all.
No.
But it still had humor.
Is. Yeah. Yeah.
So that, I think that's like his dream show, like ever since he was a kid.
Oh, really?
Like, he gets to be... recreate his dream show, you know.
He probably loves Star Trek, I bet.
Yeah, yeah. Thought, and know. He did the Cosmo series the remake about space and science.
With
Neil deGrasse Tyson.
Yeah.
He's a huge space nerd.
Oh, okay. I probably should have known that, but.
Is that what you would do? Like, let's say we're going to give you creative control over Hollywood studio, make your dream project run.
Wow.
It doesn't have to be a recreation of something else, but what would it be?
It wouldn't be sci-fi, I know that, because that's I watched some of that as a young person, but I wasn't into it as much as people are now. So, and that's just, I think, maybe has to do with my age. I don't know. I love, and it's stupid, but I love mysteries, you know, like someone gets killed and you're not sure who does it and that kind of crap. people, I'm sure, are sick of it, but that's kind of what I love. I think they're sick of it because they're not creative anymore. It's not they're not as good as they should be or could be or whatever. But that's where I would go. I do have an idea for a screenplay or a pilot for something like that for a show that I've been working on, and I've got it kind of written out of how I would do it. Basically, it's a police chief and a defense attorney working together. And what the defense attorney does is the police chief calls him whenever he gets a guy that's a really bad guy, but they think they're going to get off. He gets a hold of this attorney and has him work with him. So he works with them to get him off, and then they kill him. Wow. That's the thing. So they keep him out of jail because they don't want him to go into jail because he could live and get out in 20 years. Instead, they hire this really good attorney, the guy that's in on it. He takes his case, gets him off, and then they kill him. And they just kind of do that with high profile, really bad people. Almost like, remember that show Dexter. Called the Equalizer or Dexter or something like that? Yeah, yeah. Except it's a cop, a high level cop, and a big time Jeffrey Feiger type attorney. You know,
would you be one of the characters?
I'd like to be the attorney, but yeah, I mean that would be cool. Yeah.
Is the attorney? Do they both murder that?
I think they do it together. Yeah, they either one of them or the other one or both of them or however it's going to work out. They plan it. It might be easier for the attorney to do this guy, but the cop would have to do the other guy maybe or something. Because they both would have to be committed. They both have to do the killing together, so they wouldn't be able to squeal on one another.
Is one of them female? Are they like a married couple maybe?
I hadn't thought of it that way. No. But that could be something too. But no, I had them just as two, guys. Cop guys, but a female might be good because that would be no one would suspect something like that. Good idea.
Yeah, you could get that whole like Mr. and Mrs. Smith thing going on there.
Yeah, that'd
be pretty cool.
And at one of those deals where like in normal life they look like very unassuming, and then maybe you go to their house and they've got this crazy setup where they've got rooms with guns or whatever it might be, or like a Iron Man type.
Oh yeah.
Yes. Stark, or whatever it is. Yeah, like
so you're thinking really high tech.
Yeah, yeah.
Cool.
Yeah, I think so, yeah.
So they're high tech serial killers
who
mess with the legal system because they want to murder people.
Yeah, because
but they're good.
Yeah, yeah. They want to get rid of people that they know could come back and harm other people because our system is a little bit flawed where people can get off that are guilty. So what they do is they make sure the guy is the guy, first of all. The cop makes sure that he's the killer. Mm-hmm. Everyone knows it. Then he goes on trial, and it's looking like he's going to get off. So this guy gets involved, the new attorney, to make sure he gets off. And then from there, I guess it would be just the murder.
So if all of these – go ahead.
I was going to say, hey, Ron, so are you picturing this more as like a high-tech site or like a – I guess, is this more like a drama type thing, or is it like a thriller? Is it like a comedy?
I don't see a lot of comedy in it, but I think comedy's in everything, Brian. And so there would
for sure.
Yeah, there would be some of that in there, but I think it'd be more. And as far as like when it took place, I would think it'd be either now or in the near future, maybe it could be, set in 20 years from now, something like that. Because that way you can always add some cool shit mm-hmm. that isn't here now that you can make up and bring into the series where like, whoa, look at that, So I always kind of like that aspect of stuff that's made in the future where they can have stuff that you really don't have now, just make it up and it's there. I was watching I, Robot not too long ago, which was one of my favorite movies, a movie that I liked a lot. And it took place in the, like 2060, something like that.
Yeah.
And it's funny because I thought at one point one of the main characters wasn't Will Smith, but the other one had a cell phone, and he hands it to a guy, and his cell phone's like this big. Because it was back in the time where they thought cell phones were getting smaller and smaller and smaller. So by 2060, they'd be like, tiny little things, when actually they're getting, no one realized they're going to be getting bigger versus smaller. But back in the maybe late 90s, they thought everything was going to get, keep getting progressively smaller. And the phones kind of flipped on everybody and got bigger.
Well, that's like your gesture was like a watch size, like an Apple Watch.
Yeah.
But I don't think those have cell in them. They just connect via Bluetooth to your phone, right?
I think so, yeah. Yeah, those are pretty cool too.
Yeah. So have you thought about like the pilot episode, like how they would actually kill the guy?
The pilot episode would be a lot about their backstories and the two guys meeting. And I think someone would, a bad guy would get off and they would get together afterwards and go, you know, this has got to stop. You know, this guy, we all know he's guilty, you know. Well, and that's kind of how the pilot episode would be. Mm-hmm. And then one of them or both of them would decide in a private meeting that, you know, why don't we do something about this? The guy's off. We know where he's at. He's the, you know, he's the head of a mob boss or a gang guy or something like that. And they can find him and then they plot and they take him out.
Do they become rich? Like, if some of the people they're killing are have like suitcases full of cash, do they not take the cash?
Well, the guy, the attorney's like the Iron Man type guy. He's loaded, so he needs nothing. The cop has got a good position too. He's a police chief, so I would think any money that they did get would secretly be donated to a fund that they maybe work with children or something like that, you know.
Or maybe that's how they afford all the high-tech murder weapons.
Well, the attorney's, in my mind, is an older guy, at least like 60, who's been doing it for 40 years. And so he's amassed a ton of money because he's a, you know, he was really good at his job. And so he's basically all he does now is take cases pro bono because he doesn't really need the money. He'll take high-profile cases just, you know, for free type of thing. So this is why it would work good for him because he doesn't need anything. He doesn't want for money at all. The only thing is now that we're talking about this, they would have to have a way to dispose of these bodies. You know, they'd have to have another guy, maybe like a guy at a funeral parlor or something that can burn them, you know.
So a cannibal.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. they may need to get another guy involved. So there might be a third guy that, you know, they back up to his place at night and he pulls the body out and burns it. And, you know, the end of each scene could be smoke coming out of a stack, knowing that this guy's gone or something, you know.
If you're disposing of all the worst criminals, then prison might feel a lot safer.
That's another aspect is criminals can start going, you know, what happened to Joe Blow? I thought he got off, you know, now he's missing. Where is he type of thing? And maybe
I haven't been prison raped in like 2 months.
Right. And the word might get out amongst criminals. Like what's happening to these bad guys? They're disappearing, you know? I don't know.
Didn't like the prison rape joke, I guess.
I might have talked over it maybe. I didn't hear you say I haven't been raped in prison for a while. So yeah, actually they wouldn't have been in prison. You know what I mean?
Well, I'm talking about low level criminals just talking amongst themselves. Yeah. But then the problem with that is if prison isn't scary, then maybe people will be less – there'll be less incentive for them to not commit petty crimes.
I think prison will always be scary. I don't think it'll change that aspect at all. All it will do is keep the worst guys that are probably going to get off anyway because the really bad guys have a lot of money. You know, if you're mixed up in the mob and you're a, you know, high up, high level type of guy, you've got so much money. That's the only conflict right there is why would they need this attorney? You know, that's something I would have to deal with. Maybe there could be a judge involved and somehow would assign the case to this guy, this attorney.
And people wouldn't figure out that this attorney's last 20 clients were all murdered.
Well, that's the other thing. He's constantly got other clients as well. He's got clients that he's losing purposely just so it looks like he doesn't win every case, you know. So he's involved with other, you know, like part of the show is he's working on another case at the same time as he's working on this one. So that way it doesn't look like all he's doing is these one case at a time type things. So plus he's ahead of a huge firm and there's a lot of other attorneys there and stuff.
Okay.
And he's got this iron suit that he puts on at night and goes around. No, just kidding.
Anything else? I think that's a good idea.
Yeah, I like it. Great concept.
Thanks.
Do you dream about murdering people who wrong you, like who cut you off in the street?
I do. Yeah, I actually do. Yeah. I don't dream about it, but I fantasize about it. Yeah, for sure. Yep. Only the worst ones, though, not like just cut me off. No, that's not a big deal. I can live with that. But, you know, cut me off twice, then you're going into the fantasy death scene in my head. Yeah. car rolling over the ditch and going down or whatever.
I'll make sure I don't cut you off when we.
I've never acted out on it.
The show.
No, it's just like anybody else. I'm sure they get a little, you know, heated when someone does something bad to them on the road.
There is a thing, like there's a podcast, My Favorite Murder, and there's a little more in culture and acceptance of admitting that you fantasize about really dark things and that you are interested in really dark topics.
Right.
Which seems weird because the rest of culture is so uptight, PC. So yeah. It's almost like a weird opposite of that.
I think about that when I think about a guy like Quentin Tarantino that creates these movies that are just so insanely crazy, scary, twisted, weird. I mean, that's him, right? I mean, that's what he's thinking, you know? I mean, and he's not afraid to even put it down on paper and turn it into a film. And everyone's going, dude, this came out of your head? And he's like, yeah, you know, right? I mean, that's kind of what you're saying, right, Tom? Like,
yeah. Yeah, I wonder if but with the PC culture, it's like bottling people up and then they explode and they either go Trump or they go My Favorite Murder.
Yep.
But they just have to. So there's a weird opposite reaction going on in culture right now.
There is a lot of stifled emotion because of the PC, you know, movement or whatever. I know a lot of people that are, you know, obviously because I'm older, maybe, you know, that hate that, you know, that you can't say what you, and these people aren't like right-wing Nazi, you know, whatever. They're just normal people that like, they've been saying things a certain way for a long time and all of a sudden it's bad, you know? So they're like, what happened? You know, what, you know, but it's generally people that are older or my age or even older than me that just like, I don't get it. Why is this bad all of a sudden? You know? And I'm like, well, this is why, you know.
I think most people can tell, even if you say the wrong thing, they can tell what your intentions are. Yeah. But there's enough people nowadays that don't care what your intentions are. They just want to yell at you.
Yeah.
And I don't like that.
No.
I don't want to get into a cultural rant. Right. So let's move on. You have an idea, Brian?
He's asleep.
Sorry. I was thinking earlier today that I thought it would be kind of cool to have, I don't really know, I didn't fully, like, I didn't have a huge idea behind it. It was kind of like a concept that I wanted to roll and see what you guys thought about it. But almost like an app or like a stock market for like memes, like, you know, online photos and stuff. Like, almost like a predictor of what the next funny thing is going to be. I think that might just be me as a comedian trying to think, like, I want to stay ahead of the curve and what everybody else is going to think is funny. But I don't know. I think it would be cool to have, like, a way to know, you know, oh, hey, if I do something with this, it might catch, you know, popularity quicker.
Like, you said, like, a market, like, so with actual money involved in the market?
I mean, there could be. I was thinking more like almost just kind of like a way of like tracking and being able to figure out like what's popular now and what's going to be popular next, almost, you know, more than like a stock market with an actual money.
Yeah, I mean, they have like tag things that can count the number of tags and tell you the most popular tags. But that's by the time you think of something to add to the tag, it's probably too late.
And wouldn't that change a lot based on current events and stuff too? So you would always kind of be, and that's fine, Brian. That's cool. But every time something happened that could be construed as funny, that a meme could be made for, like I don't know how you would follow the algorithm or whatever it might be, because it's constantly based on like things that haven't happened yet or that could be happening. Like tomorrow something could happen where, oh, there would be a great meme for that. Yeah. I like the way you're going with that, though. That's a cool idea.
Yeah, so is it like a computer deciding or is it like humans deciding?
Almost like it would be like a computer processing the input of the human. So like a program that would be running through and saying, oh, okay, well, this is what's going on right now, and this might be something that would catch on real quick next or something like that. Yes. And so, like, I totally get what you guys are understanding too, or what you guys are saying with the current events, because that's what I was thinking about too. Is it's kind of hard to predict, like, oh, who's going to say something stupid on TV tomorrow? You know,
right? Yeah,
yeah. So kind of like Reddit, but like taken to the next level almost, with like AI behind it.
Yeah, yeah.
I wonder if Reddit could control what memes take off by manipulating their up and down votes. I wonder if that would work, because at some point they have a lot of power in distributing those memes.
I think it could do it to a certain point, and then after a while it'd be like, why is this so popular, you know, if it's not really popular, you know. I think if it was like good to start with and they promoted it, it would work. But if it was not good and they tried to promote it as being good, then it would be like, this is strange. This isn't what's the excitement with this thing, you know? But
maybe they could hit it early. Like, they could find the first photo of a meme, or the first or second one, and they could see this one is going to get copied. There's going to be 20 people, 100 people on YouTube parodying it and posting it with their own photos.
It could pick faster the best one type of thing.
Yeah, maybe before it takes off, or at the very start of it taking off, I suppose. That'd be worth a lot of money to, I would think, Brian, because companies would want that information, because they're always looking for ways to go viral and whatnot.
Oh, absolutely.
For sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's cool. For some reason, I'm thinking about Brian's idea and Andre's idea together in some way. Like, somehow someone could be in front of their computer thinking they're playing a game and actually they're creating memes that may or may not be great. You know? I don't know.
Huh. Professional meme creator.
That's right, yeah. But he doesn't know it.
Yeah.
I guess that adds a little bit of my aspect of my...
Although... So is your goal with this, Brian, to become more popular on social media and as a comedian yourself, or to sell it to companies?
Honestly, it would probably be to sell it to companies, because I'm not huge with social media and stuff. So that's not really an end goal for me. That's why it's kind of a weird idea for me to have anyway. To be like, oh yeah, I want to track what's going to be popular next. For no reason, apparently.
in a market that you don't really care about. Right?
Exactly. What's a recent meme of the past few weeks? I can't really think of one because of
like a good one.
I've been following the hurricane a little bit, but I haven't been following like memes, like trivial stuff. But.
I saw one where based on the hurricane. It was about Trump, and he said something like, you know, there is no such thing as global warming or whatever. And then the hurricane in Texas, what was his name? Harvey. Harvey said, you know, hold my beer. You know, that's like the most recent one I saw regarding the, you know, the weather anyway.
Okay, but would that be a good or a bad thing if that – okay, so that meme is spreading in Facebook and Twitter and YouTube, whatever – and then 2 hours later, you see a commercial on TV where Budweiser or some company has that in a commercial. Like, would that be a good thing or a bad thing if companies could create commercials to?
I think it'd be
pile on to the meme on that day.
Yeah, I don't mean to step on Brian's idea, but I think that's where you would make your money. You would sell that meme to Budweiser, and if they, you know, if they see it. Mm-hmm. And they like it and they want to use it, then they can buy it.
Yeah, I can totally see that.
I was just going to say, I think personally, though, like a lot of the times you see with commercials and stuff, the internet memes don't always transfer over to being funny in commercial form. You see it a lot of the times. I remember specifically there was one that Wendy's did where they like parodied like the actual, just like the internet memes and stuff, and it just was terrible overall.
Really?
So I don't think as a marketing in that way it might not work so much.
Part of that might be the timing, though. I mean, I'm sure those memes were around for months or years before the commercial came out. I could be wrong, but What if they were, it's like telling a joke, but it's like telling a joke about a topic that's stale is probably what they did. But if they could literally within 2 hours, they had like a live commercial shooting division where they could kick out a commercial with a meme in like hours, would that be a good thing as a consumer or a bad thing? Would it ruin the concept of memes? I don't know about consumer-wise,
but I think me and you have a pretty good idea here, Tom, that we need to market to some companies.
Yeah, so I'm imagining, like, I'm going on Reddit, right, and I'm seeing what's going on for today. And, you know, I start and I see the hurricane meme, and I think it's funny. And I come back to Reddit a couple hours later, because you can't just go there once a day, right? You just got to check it out again and again. So I go back a couple hours later. Now all the memes are the same meme, but now there's a Budweiser can in the picture.
Somehow, right.
Now, as a consumer, you know, I wouldn't be harmed by that. I mean, I think, like, you know, that's a sign. I should go get a beer right now.
Right.
So I think that's a good thing, honestly.
Remember the picture? It was a pretty classic picture of the flood. It wasn't one of the recent ones. It might have been a flood maybe a year or two ago. It might have been Louisiana, where they're saving this dude, and he's on a raft, and he's got a 12-pack of Budweiser on the raft as they're, like the Marines are saving him, and what he's got on there is his beer, you know? That might, sounds similar to what Andre was just talking about, but I would think somebody would have jumped on that. Like, I mean, if they would have had Wonder Bread or whatever it might have been, you know, I don't know.
Yeah, that's another thing that Andre brought up, is that I was thinking they would take the meme and transfer it to a television commercial, but Andre was saying, well, just re-meme it, just pile on Reddit. So that's another way to do it. Like, and that, I guess, like the Burger King Twitter account has famously retweeted a couple things and got publicity for that. So yeah, I guess that's one way to do it too. Is just the Burger King Twitter account acts like a person and they just retweet and re-meme it, whatever you call it.
But they would have to buy it, right?
I don't know.
Because
it depends on, yeah, that's true. With images and stuff, if they use images, then a normal person, they can use a copyrighted image and be pretty secure they're not going to get sued. But Burger King maybe can't do that.
Because you can't use Burger King's logo, so they shouldn't be able to use someone else's. You know what I mean? Like if you try to make a commercial or whatever, if you had anything with Burger King in it, you'd have to get it cleared from them or they would sue the hell out of you, you know? So
yeah, you'd have to be really careful legally that you make it obvious that that's what you're talking about, but you don't actually use any images or...
Right.
You just make it similar to the meme enough that people pick up on it.
And I think whenever you do see an image, like in either a TV show or a film, let's say he's drinking an actual vitamin water, if it is, it's like been paid for. You know, those aren't random. They're there because they were offered to be in the film or whatever it was, and they're there for a reason. If you do, I'm a big fan of the Big Bang Theory, so I watch that a lot, and they're constantly eating in that cafeteria. I don't know if you guys watch it, but if you look closely, I'll stop my TV and look, and the names, this will be spelled differently. It won't say actual vitamin, you know, everything about it is different, but it looks exactly the same. So they have everything they're drinking. If it's a Pepsi can, if you look closely, it's not spelled Pepsi. It's spelled differently. It's like Depsy or something. They use a D instead of a P or something. It's like, so they're not, in that scenario, I'm thinking they didn't get paid by Pepsi to have that can there. So they're going to use it anyway. They're just going to change it a little bit, you know, so it's legal.
So I don't know how far we deviated from your original idea, Brian,
sorry, Brian.
Any more comments on your idea?
No, like I said, it was just kind of something that I was like, hey, this might be something interesting to talk about. And we took it way further than I thought it was going to go.
Okay. Well, I'm going to start with my idea. So the hurricanes have been in the news, obviously. And people, I don't understand why. They seem to have this sort of hopelessness about hurricanes, like, it's inevitable that they're going to just destroy all these houses and there's nothing we can do about it. There's nothing we can do about it in the future. global warming is sea rise is just going to destroy all the coasts and all the houses are going to be gone and there's nothing we can do about it. Or people are just so blindsided by the disaster they can't see beyond it to see how to prepare for it and how to handle after it. But and my thought is in the movie Austin Powers, there's like a villain in one scene, and Austin Powers is driving a steamroller towards him, and he's screaming and screaming, and then they cut away at a different angle, and it's barely moving. So he has like a minute to get out of the way, but for some reason he won't. So he's just screaming, and then he runs out of breath, and he takes a full breath, and he screams again, and then finally it comes and it hits him. To me, that's what society is doing as far as hurricane preparedness.
Or global warming.
And global warming preparedness in regards to how we build our houses. And so I've done a few ideas previously on the podcast about futuristic houses. And I'm going to sort of rehash some of those and sort of explain like how they would help protect people from losing all of their possessions and their investment because of hurricanes and floods. So, the first thing is some people do this already. They build houses on stilts. That's pretty obvious. But that's limited because global warming sea rise is going to eventually get up too high for the stilts. And you can, there's a big tiny house movement going on. And so you could just, in these flood areas, instead of building permanent houses, you could just build tiny houses that you can tow away a few days before the hurricane.
Yeah, that's a great idea.
Or push it up the hill.
Push it up the hill.
Sea level rise. Just
get it to higher land, yeah.
Yeah. And I saw a different type of house on a TV show on Netflix or something. And there, it was located on a tiny island in a river in, like, some fancy England town. And it floods every so often, this island on this river. And so what they did is they created, like, a square hole. And they they filled it with water and they put, like, a floating house. They built a floating house in the hall. So as it floods, the house will just float up higher, but it'll never float so high that the basement pops out of the hall. It would have to flood by like 30 feet right. before the...
So it's always stuck in there, basically.
It's always stuck in there. Huh. So that's a good way to do it.
Yeah.
Because even then, if the global warming sea rise gets so high that it looks like it's going to pop out of the hall, you can just float it somewhere else.
Yeah, it's not going to sink, yeah. right? Yeah.
So that's one of them. And so those aren't my ideas. Those are just things that I heard and saw. And then one of my ideas is I call it shell houses. I talked about this briefly in a point to a different housing idea. And basically what I call it, a shell house would be, it'd be a normal size house. But, like, the front door and the entire front wall of the house would just open up like a weird garage door. And basically, the main rooms that you live in would be in a tiny house that's, like, rectangular, like a, that can be trucked around.
Like a container.
A container size. And you would just, your bedroom, main bedroom, living room, maybe kitchen, anything, any room where you have personal stuff would be in that rectangle, and you would just open up the front of the house and just back it in there, and then you would be moved in. And then the parts of the house that don't really matter, like that don't need to be personalized, that don't contain your personal stuff, like the laundry room and spare bathrooms, spare bedrooms, man cave, garage, all of that would be permanently attached to the house, the fixed place house. So basically, you would be, if there was a flood, you would cart away the shell inside, the tiny house inside, and then the shell would still get flooded.
Yeah.
But there's nothing there.
But there's nothing there.
Nothing important there, yeah.
And you could build that shell to withstand flooding if you wanted, or you could make most of it on the second story, like put all your appliances on the second story. So if the bottom story floods, you don't even lose possessions unless it floods really high, you know?
Yeah.
So yeah, that's the shell house idea. And so the tiny houses that go inside the shell house, they wouldn't be a normal like tiny house that you see on TV that's built to withstand the outside elements. They would have like thin walls and stuff. And then basically they would be built as a standardized size. So you could buy what I call a skin. So if you want it to be a standalone house that's not inside a full-size shell house, you could put a skin on it, like almost like a skin for a phone, that would make it have like a shingled roof and like insulation and stuff.
A cap on it or whatever.
Yeah.
Also, you could use more than one, right? I mean, you could, if your home was big, you know, and you had like four kids or whatever, they could each have one pulled in, mm-hmm. possibly, you know, if it was a, or let's say there were, go on, am I cutting you off? I don't mean to do that.
Yeah, that's fine.
Go ahead.
It's a conversation.
All right. But yeah, you could have more than one, I guess is basically what I'm saying. Yeah. You know, if you had two different, like, you know, let's say your two kids could have one and the mom and dad could have one with all their stuff in it, and they'd have to pull them both out at some point if it was going to get bad.
Yeah, I kind of see it being like a high rise where you just kind of open the side of the high rise and just slide a new building in or a new room in, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, that was one of the things too. That was actually the original idea, was the high rise. Mm-hmm. And I had an idea, so it would be like a city with one big skyscraper where it would just shuffle around all these little tiny houses robotically. And so that's one of them ideas, is that, yeah, you, instead of the shell house, it'd be a skyscraper like that would hold the tiny houses.
Would it be like one of those, what's that game they play where they pull the wooden blocks out?
Jenga.
Oh, yeah.
Would it be like that? Would they be all stacked and going up? And then when the storm came, they'd have to start like pulling them all out and it'd like vanish?
Well, if they're up high, they're safe, presumably.
But what about the wind, though? You know, you think that
they would be inside like a skyscraper metal frame.
Okay.
They wouldn't just be balanced directly on top of each other.
Yeah.
Be like a steel.
Right.
Whatever.
I got you.
Yeah, I can see that being great. Like if you change jobs and now you're working like half an hour away, just like while you're at work, they'll just, you know, take you out of that building, put you in one right next to where you work. So you go to work, leave one house and just drive to your next one. Everything's all set up and everything.
Yeah.
Exactly.
They just moved your room.
And then so one of my other ideas, I believe I did this as a podcast also. I call it the on-demand tiny house. And so basically, it doesn't even have to be a tiny house actually, but so you live in a house that's just an empty white box on the inside, and basically you have these Roomba-style robots that move everything in and out on demand whenever you need it, using an app on your phone. So if you need to use a toilet, it'll wheel in a toilet. Okay. If you need to use a sink or kitchen appliance or get clothes, it just wheels everything in and out. And then it has like a projector on the ceiling. So all of your decorations on the walls and stuff are just projected.
Holograms
there.
Or something maybe. Yeah. Projected. Yeah.
So, and then the robots that move the stuff in and out, they would store it in warehouses in the neighborhood. And you could make those warehouses either like flood proof, like multi-story high, or you could connect it to the shipping grid, and just some of the stuff you could just ship all your stuff through UPS and the robots will just automatically take it all. So if you need to move, basically it's instantaneous. You don't need to plan anything.
Right, because there's nothing there permanent, right? I mean, everything could just, yeah.
And then my last idea had to do with floating cities. So there's some cities on the coasts that are going to get flooded due to sea rise. And depending on the ground underneath them, you'd think that there'd be some way to, like my joke was ping pong balls, just shove ping pong balls under there. But you could do, some sort of inflatable thing underneath it, or
build like a pontoon
skyscrapers downwards instead of upwards.
Oh, I see.
But yeah, you could make it so a city could flow, especially even in Florida. They have a lot of underground rivers and stuff, and that's why they get all those sinkholes. So you might be able to easily dig out underneath it. There might be like 20, 30 feet of dirt holding up the city, and then under that is just water. So you could just build some sort of mega structure to make the city float.
Yeah, that'd be cool.
So those are my ideas on how to future-proof houses from getting destroyed every few years from hurricanes and global warming.
Good stuff.
Well, thanks for coming, and that was Creativity Wasted. Thanks for listening.
Thank you.
Thank you.